I'm Drake Henderson. I'm here with Harold Henderson. I'm going to ask him some questions about September 11th, 2001, the attacks on that day. So just, if you could just start off and kind of, you know, give me some background information like your age and where you're from and things like that.
I'm 42 years old. I'm from Bigelow, Arkansas. I grew up there in that small town my whole life. I'm married, got three kids, and live a happy life.
So with you being 42 years old, you were you're at an age where you can remember the attacks on September 11th. So do you remember where you were when the attacks happened?
I sure do. Actually, I was on my way to work. I worked in Conway at the time, and I was leaving. I had left Bigelow, and I always listened to the same radio station my whole life, you know, growing up, and a morning show there that I listened to. Well, there it come across there that an airplane had crashed into the World Trade Center, and I didn't really think anything of it because these guys are kind of pranksters. They, you know, they all the time making, you know, calls, prank calls, and doing silly antics like that on the radio. So I kind of just didn't pay it any mind, and they kept talking about it, and and I thought, well, you know, someone had flown a small plane, somehow got off track and had flew into the, you know, into the World Trade Center. It was by accident. You know, in my mind, I was thinking it was by accident, and it was, you know, not until later that I figured out that it was when I got to work. You know, everybody, you know, more people were talking about it and talking about they had heard it on their radio and all that. So we found the closest TV that we could find in one of the offices, and we turned on the news, and they were showing, you know, they were showing videos of it and of New York, and it was at that time the other plane had hit, and so it was kind of hitting me all at once there. What I thought was a joke ended up not being a joke.
So how'd it feel whenever you saw the second plane hit the World Trade Center? How did that feel watching that go down?
It was scary. You know, it kind of put you in a, you know, scared and in a state of panic and all that, because I mean, you couldn't grasp your head around what was really going on. It was very confusing, because you know, in your mind you're thinking, okay, if this was not an accident, then who would do this? And, you know, and why would they do it? And so I, you know, I was kind of scared, kind of a panic, confused.
So another part of this whole day was the plane flying into the Pentagon, and supposedly the plane that was headed for the White House. Did, you know, how long after the hit on the World Trade Center was the messages about the attack on the Pentagon and the prepared attack for the White House?
We have to understand this was quite a few years ago, because social media there was very, very primitive, you know, in a way. So news didn't really travel. It just kind of had to, as it tickered across the bottom of the ticker tape across the bottom of the newscast, you know, it was coming across there talking about the one at the Pentagon, and then the one that landed in the field that they said was, you know, directed towards the White House, and, you know, the passengers overtook it and brought it down, you know, in time. So it was, you know, you're talking about a time there, you know, it's time all kind of run together there. But you're looking as it come across there, you're looking at 30 to 45 minutes within the hour we got the news.
How long after the attack was President Bush's message, and what did he say, and how did you receive that information?
Well, I honestly wasn't a real big George Bush fan at the time, and he made a statement that afternoon, and it was, you know, it was a feel good message. I mean, which is what the country needed at the time. You know, we needed that feel good. We needed that comfort that someone was going to do something, we was going to get to the bottom. We weren't going to stand back and let this just happen. So I think it was those events that kind of turned me into a George Bush fan, per se, if that makes any sense. He didn't lay back and cower down. He stood up through all the confusion because, I mean, I'm sure it was just as confusing to him. He stood up and it was a natural disaster. It was nothing like this had ever happened other than, maybe Pearl Harbor, So it was kind of a black eye, as Toby Keith said in the song, it's kind of a black eye, but he didn't turn around. We didn't turn around and run off and cry. We stood up to the bully. So what was the general feeling
of the people or in the community around you and, folks you're close with? How did they react to this, the attack?
As I said before, there was a lot of panic, a lot of confusion, a lot of scared, everybody, because like I said, social media was none at this point. And, a lot of the older generation, if they didn't, they didn't have satellite or anything, we didn't have all the news channels. So if it wasn't where they could see it, then they may have not known about it, or they didn't know what was happening. They may have not been up on it. So there was a lot of panic, a lot of confusion, a lot of anger, a lot of, scared, a whole lot of scared. People were scared that, thinking, it was the end of the world. You had some people claiming it was the end of the world. And, so you had a lot of people that felt like that.
So how did things change in the following days after the attack?
Well, everything was kind of on lockdown. There were no flights going out. So if you traveled and you were out of town, with work or traveling to see relatives or anything like that, and your only means back was flight, you couldn't fly. All flights were grounded. So that kind of put a hindrance on things. A lot of places, took advantage of the situation and did price gouging on gasoline. They saw that as an opportunity to, when people were in panic, to raise the price of gasoline, because rumor come across the news that it was gonna there was gonna be a shortage on gasoline and we weren't gonna be able to get gasoline. You were gonna be trapped. So people were flogging to their nearest fill up stations and all that. Well, a lot of these places, not a lot, some of them, we'll say, saw a chance to raise the price on gas from, $1.75 at that time to, $5 or $6, which was unheard of at that point, pay that much for gasoline. But some people were doing that, and people were paying it because they were in a panic that there was not going to be any gasoline.
Were you one of those people that sat in line for hours and waited on the gasoline?
No, luckily I had filled up the day before, but where I work, they had let us out early so people could go get gasoline and go be with their families. And the little gas station that I stopped at every morning, when I come over the bridge to see and saw it, it was a line of traffic all the way out to the road and up the road, and police were flagging traffic around if you didn't need gas. And they had signs up saying they were almost out of gas. That's how many people had bought gas. So,
how has society changed since then?
Security has gotten tremendously higher at sporting events, at airports, at anything that a group of people is going to be at. Security has been stepped up. The main one is airport. Security. Previously, before 9/11, if you had a loved one or anybody going flying off, anybody could walk up to the terminal and sit there and do like you see in the movies, where they're running down the hallway to catch somebody before they get on the plane to stop them. after 9/11, that was stopped. You have to go through security, and you know it makes travel a little bit more difficult, but difficult in a good way, because you know it's stopping. You're stopping anything from happening like that again. So it may cost you a little more time, but in the long run, it's good.
So how do you think our country, our society as a whole has changed feelings about one, airline travel, and another, just Middle Eastern people in general after the things that happened?
Well, at first, the airport travel, it was a hindrance, as I said before. But I think people now have gotten used to it. You know, it's pretty much a common thing. So, I mean, you know now if you're flying somewhere, you need to be at the airport at least 2 hours early so you can get through security and get checked in and everything. So I think society has kind of come together on that. They understand their view on Middle Eastern people immediately after 9/11. It was not very good. I mean, it was, if you was a Middle Eastern person, you were a terrorist. And, you know, not saying that that was right, but I'm just saying that was the general outlook for everybody, because, I mean, when you found out that it was Middle Easterners that did this, you automatically assume that every Middle Easterner that gets on an airplane is going to try to take it down. So it kind of brought some animosity up on people. They, you know, it kind of put Middle Eastern people in a bad spot here in America. And there's for the most part, most of them are here for good reasons. And so it kind of made us look bad in that way, because we kind of stereotyped everybody. You know, it kind of put us back. Say it kind of put us back to the olden days where we stereotyped and kind of segregated people again.
So you touched on before, but the rules and laws and kind of the way things were approached after this, do you think it made things better or worse in the country?
I think it made it better, because nowadays there's people doing crazy things with school shootings or, you know, mass bombings and things like that. So I think the rules, the security rules, helped out for the most part. Now, they did make things more difficult. I mean, you know, it's not as easy anymore to go and do. You can't go drop your wife off at the grocery store and just sit by the door in your vehicle anymore. You know, they kind of look at you about that, you know. So it kind of made, you know, it took a little while people to, you know, to change their, kind of took, made people put a little more, made them had to kind of, what's the word I'm looking for, work a little more, I guess.
After these attacks, you know, President Bush kind of made the claim of, we're going to start a war on terrorism, and, you know, to this day, we're still fighting over in the Middle East, and just, what's your opinion and views on that?
Well, I kind of agree and disagree. I like that we jumped right in there after we, you know, we got our black eye. We didn't run off to mom and have her put ice on it and just dodge people every time you saw them. We stood up to the bully, and we stood up to him, and we fought back, and I think that was good, because it did show that we weren't going to lay down. Our country wasn't going to lay down. We weren't going to just give up and take it. But now the war on terrorism, I mean, that's a big blanket, a broad spectrum that we, they put it out there as war on terrorism. So we, they're using that as a excuse to do things.
So, since 9/11, it seems like after year and year, is kind of there's an increase in attacks and acts of terrorism, and just do you think that just the way 9/11 was handled and kind of the publicity, you think that is a part of why there's so much more acts of violence today?
I do. I think, you know, the word you're looking for is martyrism. I think we make anytime anything like this happens with social media the way it is now and so many news outlets and mainstream media, they plaster these people's faces all over the TV, the papers, the internet. So you take someone that is an attention hound, they're looking for any reason to get their face on TV, and we've made it now where, you know, where if someone's had a bad, you know, they think they've had a bad growing up, a bad life, then they feel like they can take it out on a group of people and it's going to fix things, because that's, you know, society makes them, you know, puts them on a pedestal per se by plastering their name all over the TV and news. So
do you think there's any way of just stopping this acts of violence on our country, or what are your views on how to stop things like that?
I don't think you're ever going to stop violence. There's, you know, you can look through the past. There's always been fights and squabbles, stuff like that. I think if we would quit giving people, say, life in prison for doing things like this, if we'd start, like the Bible says, an eye for an eye, if someone kills someone or a group of people, then they should automatically be executed. I don't think they should get life in prison, because that's 3 meals a day in a federal prison that they don't, you know, they're getting a better life than what they had sometimes. So I think if we start, you know, a little more corporal punishment, a little more heavy on the corporal punishment, I think you would see a lot of these people, if they knew, hey, if I do this, I'm not going to go to prison for the rest of my life, they're going to kill me, I think you would have a lot of people think twice about committing some of these crimes.
A few years ago, we finally caught and killed Osama bin Laden, who came out to be the leading force behind the 9/11 attacks. And just, do you remember just kind of where you were when that news kind of broke and how you felt and things like that?
Yeah, I was at home. I was at home, and it was a sense of relief. I mean, I understood that there was still more like him out there, but any time you take a ringleader down of anything, they're not as strong. There's a reason why Osama bin Laden was the leader, because he was the strongest one. So anytime you take away their strongest person, the team gets a little bit weaker. So it was a good feeling. I knew the work wasn't done yet. I knew the job wasn't done, but you take away their strongest link and the chain's not as strong. So I think, you know, I think it was good, and I think we just continued to focus on them. I think it's helping.
So in the recent years, ISIS has been the big name in terrorism and things of that nature. Just, do you see any connection between the two? I know that they're not the same, but they kind of remind you of similar things of the Al-Qaeda that did the 9/11 attacks, and just how you feel about that.
Yeah, they're different, but they're the same. It goes back to what I said before about you plastering their name all over the news, and you show them. Everybody has got a little bit of glory hound in them. Everybody wants to be famous for something. Some people want to be famous for good things. Some people want to be famous for bad things. And I think they saw, ISIS saw what Al-Qaeda had did, and it's kind of, they wanted to one-up everything. And so that's my thoughts on it.
So since then, at least to me, it seems like since the attacks on September 11th, it seems just just the United States, just in a whole, has kind of, you know, it's went from carefree and kind of enjoying things to now it's always on its toes, and we're always looking out for the next attack and trying to prevent things, and in a way that's good and bad. And just, how do you feel about how our country has changed since then?
I agree with you. I think, you know, it took our, before 9/11, we were carefree. You didn't worry about things. You went to ball games and you kicked back and you enjoyed the games. You went to the airport and you got on the plane and you flew across country to go on vacation or see family. You didn't have a worry. You sent your kids to school, you know, without a worry of anything other than they were going to get in trouble for fighting at school. And it has put us on our toes. It has, you know, you've got that watching over your back, but that's just a part of life. I mean, it was something that happened, and now we can't let it happen again.
I know 9/11 was a huge tragedy and many folks lost their lives, but in a way, do you feel like it kind of improved our country in a sense of, at the beginning it brought us together, and then now at this point, we're kind of more, we're ready for whatever the world throws at us now. We're not going to get caught sleeping. It's kind of, you know, like you said, on our toes. And so obviously 9/11 was horrible and horrific, but in a way, do you agree that it was maybe decent for our country?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. The days following the 9/11, you have never seen patriotism like you have then. There was American flags everywhere. Everybody had flags either in their yards, on the flagpoles, painted on their windows, at ball games. The Star-Spangled Banner was the most played song the months following 9/11. And yes, I agree. It's kept us on our toes, but it's awoken the beast is what they did. We were the sleeping beast. Well, now everywhere knows, every country knows that you're not just going to walk in here and do what you did before. And so I think it, not saying it was a good deal, I mean, because it was a terrible tragedy, but it's kind of what this country needed to kind of get back to where we needed to be.
Is there any other comments or stories you'd like to tell about 9/11?
No, I think we pretty much covered everything.
Well, that's all the questions I have. I thank you.
Thank you. Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself.
23, oh, it's still going.